Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." For a few minutes this morning, I want us to consider three pictures of the cross, three different crosses that I want us to look at. This slide shows a garden that is in existence now, depicting the crucifixion, Matthew 27:38. Two bandits were crucified with him, one on the right, one on the other left. We aren't going to talk about these three crosses. We're going to talk about three different types of crosses, though. When we think about the cross, it's hard to come up with words to adequately describe what Jesus did for us. One of the songs we sing, "Oh, the depth and the riches of God's saving grace flowing down from the cross for me. There the debt for my sins by the Savior was paid in his suffering on Calvary." We have many songs in our book talking about the cross. The old rugged cross, beneath the cross of Jesus. "When I survey the wondrous cross, Jesus paid it all. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? Blessed Redeemer, lead me to Calvary, on the cross of Calvary." That's just a few of the songs. We have two sections, a Calvary medley and a cross medley, with several songs to be sung one after the other to help us focus on these. And we talk about the cross in passing. We talk about it at the Lord's Supper, but I want us to look deeper at it this morning. To the world, to those who perish, the cross is foolishness. But to those who are saved, it is the power of God and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18-24. With Paul, we can say, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Galatians 6:14. But Jesus says there's a cross for you and there's a cross for me. If all men will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16:24. There's a cross for you and one for me. We sing this song sometimes, "Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone?" And it's interesting, too. I like to collect songbooks. Not that I'm a singer, but there are poems in there, and they have beautiful words, beautiful messages. And a lot of the newer songbooks have fewer verses than the original song. But "Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone? And all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. How happy are the saints above who once went sorrowing here, but now they taste unmingled love and joy without a tear. The consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free, and then go home my crown to wear, for there's a crown for me. Upon the crystal pavement, down at Jesus' pierced feet, joyful I'll cast my golden crown and hear his dear name repeat. O precious cross, O glorious cross, O resurrection day, when Christ the Lord from heaven comes down and bears my soul away." That's a beautiful song. And it's beautiful because of the cross, that Christ is going to come down from heaven and carry our soul away. So when we consider the cross, there are three pictures or portraits of the cross that I want us to consider: the historical cross, the religious cross, and the figurative cross. The historical cross is mentioned in all four of the Gospels. It was a physical cross on which Jesus was executed. Matthew 27, Mark 15, Luke 23, John 19. All of these record the cross of Christ. And he was crucified on that cross. That's what the crosses were for. Crucifixion was one of the worst forms of torture, the worst forms of death known to man. Roman citizens were excluded from crucifixion. So that's why, according to history, according to tradition, Paul was beheaded. He was not crucified because he was a Roman citizen. Crucifixion was reserved for slaves, particularly those guilty of treason, sedition, assassination, robbery, horrible acts. They saved crucifixion for the worst of the crimes and for Christians. It was practiced until Constantine the Great outlawed it as an insult to Christianity. Crucifixion was also familiar, not just to the Romans, but to the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Persians, the Babylonians, and others. So this form of torture and death was around for many, many years. It said that Alexander the Great crucified 2,000 people of Tyre after the fall of Tyre. There were different forms of the cross. One was shaped like our letter T, another like our letter X, and the other, with Jesus was put to death, was evidently the dagger type, where the upright beam projected above the cross piece. We can understand this because of the fact that inscriptions were placed above his head. So if he was crucified on a T or on an X, that would not be possible. As I said, crucifixion was one of the first, or one of the worst types of torture and death. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia says, the suffering of death by crucifixion was intense. Severe local inflammation, coupled with bleeding of the wounds, produced traumatic fever, which was exaggerated by the exposure of the heat of the sun, the strained position of the body, and insufferable thirst. You know, I've gotten little punctures and things, cuts on my body, and they hurt. But you just think about having nails driven through your hands and your feet. Those open wounds and the bleeding. The wound swelled up through the rough nails and torn, lacerated tendons and nerves caused excruciating agony. The arteries of the head and stomach were charged with blood. There would have been a terrific throbbing headache. When they would nail them up, they didn't look to see if this place is going to be easier than that place. They would just drive those nails through them and let them hang up there. Let them hang in the weight of their body, pull them down. The mind was confused and filled with anxiety and dread. You just think about leading up to the cross. If people, as common as this was, people would have seen this done many times. And then when someone said, you are going to be crucified, we're going to nail you to that cross. Just the anxiety leading up to that. The victim of crucifixion literally died 1,000 deaths. The sufferings were so frightful that even among the raging passions of war, pity was sometimes excited. So this encyclopedia is saying, you think about war being one of the bloodiest, worst things, but even during the time of war, people would see someone crucified and have pity on them because it was the worst form of death. So that's the historical cross. But let's think about the religious cross. The word cross is also used in a theological sense. Paul wrote, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1:18, Galatians 5:11, Galatians 6, 1 Corinthians 1. He talks about this over and over. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. What is the preaching of the cross? The cross to Paul was the gospel. By the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, God's saving power is manifested. 1 Corinthians 15. The gospel, the good news, we preach the cross. The cross symbolized all of this. Therefore, by the cross, the following was and is accomplished. So without the cross, these things would not have happened. Without the cross, we would not have redemption. Paul wrote, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Galatians 3:13. The Greek word translated redeemed in this text suggests the price paid for redemption. Again, that was a common term when someone was sold into slavery, someone was a servant, they would redeem them, they would go and buy them. That concept carries over. We were servants of Satan. Christ set us free. He redeemed us. He bought us. We are now servants of Christ. He is our master. He redeemed us, not with silver and gold, but with his own precious blood. By the cross, Jesus paid the price or debt for our sins. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Another word for redemption means actual deliverance. And Paul uses this word both in Ephesians 1:7 and Colossians 1:14. So we were redeemed. We were delivered. Through the cross or by Jesus' shed blood, we are delivered from spiritual bondage of sorrow and night into the freedom of gladness and light. Out of darkness into light, out of bondage into freedom. This redemption. We would not have redemption without the cross. Not only would we not have redemption, we would not have reconciliation. Reconciliation was accomplished by the cross. Man alienated from God by sin is brought back to God. He's reconciled to God by the cross. Colossians 1:21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. And both Jew and Gentile are reconciled in one body by the cross. Ephesians 2:16. So we have redemption, this one picture of salvation, being bought, being bought out, our sins are paid for. We have a new master, redemption. We have another picture now of salvation, reconciliation. And many times when we think of reconciliation, we think of a marriage, a husband and wife, some family that has been separated. They are estranged. Maybe a husband and a wife, maybe a father and a son, and then they are reconciled. And you think about the parable of the prodigal son and that reconciliation. When the son came home and the father was watching for him, and he ran out and kissed him and put his arms around him. Reconciliation. Friends, that is made possible for us with Christ by the cross. Well, also with the cross, with the religious cross, we have peace. Sin makes man an enemy of God. Friendship of this world is enmity with God. James 4:4. There's this estrangement, terror, fear, distance, but all of these disappear when we come to God by the way of the cross. And you think about maybe if you've been on the outs with somebody different than reconciliation, but just at odds with somebody, and somebody says, let's clear this up, let's take care of this, and you just feel that peace come over you. Friends, that's what we can have because of the cross with Christ. We read, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross," Colossians 1:20. To have peace with God is to have a right relationship with him. And this we have through Christ. We have peace through Christ, the Prince of Peace, this peace that's different than the world has. Well, also with the cross was the purchase of the church. And without Jesus dying on the cross, we would not have the church. It was through the cross that the church was purchased. Paul told the Ephesian elders to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Acts 20:28. When did he purchase the church with his blood? When he died on the cross, when he was crucified. It's the same church that he told Peter, "On this rock I will build my church." Paul wrote to Titus, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity." Titus 2:14. So he purchased the church. He redeemed us. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. So the cross made possible the purchase of the church, and it made possible the abolishment of the law of Moses. If Christ had not died on the cross, the law of Moses would still be in effect. At Calvary, the Mosaical law was abolished. No man could be saved by that law, Acts 13:39, Romans 3:20. But that law was given to magnify sin and act as a tutor for the Jews until Jesus came, Galatians 3:24. So in order to have a better system, Jesus had to do away with the law of Moses, and he instituted this new covenant. The handwriting of ordinances that were contrary against the Jews and contrary to them were nailed to the cross. So old law, new law. Old covenant, new covenant. Old testament, new testament. Old will, new will. Carol and I were talking about looking over our wills and making some changes, rewriting some things. We all understand that. That's common. It's in that all of those terms, covenant, testament, will, those are legal terms. It's a legal contract, a binding legal contract. And without the cross, that old covenant, that old testament, that old will, that old contract would still be in effect. And if it was still in effect, we would not have hope, because all of us are Gentiles. But again, it was through the cross that peace and reconciliation were made possible. But when we think of the cross, we need to think of the law of Moses being abolished. A lot of people don't. A lot of people don't. They'll say, "Do you have music in your church?" And what they mean is, do you have a band? Do you have a band? You know, they had that in the Old Testament, and they'll use that as an argument. You know, they had all kinds of instruments in the Old Testament. Well, yes, they did. And it's recorded who were to play them and how and when and who was in charge of that. But we aren't under that covenant. That's why it's called the Old Covenant. We're under the New Covenant, this new legal document. And Christ, God, the Holy Spirit has specified the kind of music they want us today, and it's vocal. And again, you see the genius of God in man being able to worship God anytime, any place, any culture, any time in history by the simple acts of worship that he told us to use. Also, with the cross, we have access to heaven. Hebrews 10, 19 and 20. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Indeed, we must go home by the way of the cross, as the song says, there's no other way but this. We want to go home. We want to go to heaven. The only way we can go there is by the cross. No other way. No other way. Well, finally, we have the figurative cross. The word crossed is used in a metaphorical sense. Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's our text from Luke 9:23. Also Matthew 16:24, Luke 14:27. We are to take up our cross and follow him. Maybe Jesus chose this figure because he was to be crucified. Jesus bore his cross. No one else could bear it for him. And each of us, as a disciple of Christ, must bear our own cross day by day. The song I read earlier, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. Jesus could not escape the cross, and we have a cross that we must bear today. And notice, this cross is voluntary. Jesus said, if any man will come. The Lord does not force us. He does not coerce us. But we follow Jesus by our own free will. And when burden becomes heavy and we grow weary, we shouldn't fret or complain. Friends, we made the decision to follow Jesus. So just ask for strength and perseverance to carry on. Does it make sense? Someone comes forward and says they want to, they've repented of their sins and they want to confess Christ and be baptized so that they can be saved. And then they do that, and then they made that decision, that commitment. And then something comes along and Satan tries to get them to go back into the world. And they throw up their hands. Friends, we made the decision to follow Jesus. When things come along, we just need to ask for strength and perseverance to carry on. The cross makes self-denial. The text states, he who follows is to deny himself and take up his cross. We don't keep doing everything we want to do. We deny ourselves. We have a choice to make. Do I go here or do I go there? Do I do this or do I do that? This entails a disowning and complete denial of oneself. It's not just giving up some of the bad habits or outward practices. Some of them, it's turning them off altogether. And when Christ's will becomes the disciples' will, then we are ready to bear our cross. That's why I say over and over and over, we keep going back to Deuteronomy. We got to love the Lord God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We put Christ first. We prioritize. When we put Christ first, whatever comes along today, whatever comes along tomorrow, is going to fall in place. When we put Christ first. The cross must be borne. A disciple must take up his cross. And this is to be done daily, not once a week, not a few hours a week. The responsibility of being a disciple of Jesus is a constant thing, regardless of hardships that we might come across. And cross-bearing is a readiness and willingness to bear and endure all things for Jesus' sake. And friends, we don't know what's going to come down the road for us, but each thing that we bear, it's going to make it easier for us to bear something else. God, it's like spiritual exercise to strengthen us. The cross is a test of discipleship. Jesus exhorts any would-be disciple to follow him. And just reading that, I think of all kinds of songs that we sing about following Jesus. Who will follow Jesus? Follow, follow, I'll follow him anywhere he goes. We follow Jesus. This denotes faithfulness, fidelity. But before the cross-bearing and self-denial, Jesus said that a man cannot be his disciple unless he bears his cross and comes after him. This is a commentary. He who desires to become his disciple and servant will every day have to be willing to put his own interests and wishes into the background and to accept voluntarily and wholeheartedly the sacrifice and suffering that will have to be endured in his service. And friends, sometimes there is a sacrifice and suffering, but so many times in the culture that we live, there isn't suffering. We just don't follow Jesus. We just don't pick up our cross and work for him every day. The cross is not the ordinary human troubles and sorrows such as disappointments, disease, death, poverty, and the like, but things which have to be suffered, endured, and lost in service of Christ. Is Christ going to ask us to give up everything? No, but we should be willing to. Like when the rich young ruler came to Christ and asked him what he needed to do, and the rich young ruler said that he had kept all the commandments, and Jesus said, go and sell what you have and share with the poor. And he went away sad, because that what was dearest to his heart, his possessions. He didn't want to give up his possessions. Jesus isn't asking us to give up our possessions, but he's telling us we've got to be ready to. We've got to be ready to if that stands between us and our salvation. And when we think about it, everything we have belongs to God anyway. Our time, our money, our stuff, it all belongs to God. Are we using it for our self-pleasure, or are we using it for God's glory? 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified, to me and I to the world. Friends, in view of what Jesus did for us at Calvary, and all that we have received through the cross of Christ, the redemption, the reconciliation, the peace, the church, access to heaven, let us take up our cross and follow in Christ each and every day. Let us take up our cross daily. Friends, we ask lovingly and kindly, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.